You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from Senior Pastor Graham Nelson. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for that song that Andy taught us this morning. Just the victory we have. Father, death has no more sting. Lord God, that you have determined, Lord God, through all of creation, before the foundation of the world, your word says, that we would have life and that we would have it to the full. And so, Father, as I open your word today, I pray that today this word would not only shed light and life into us, but, Lord God, that we would practice to claim that life that is rightfully ours. So we pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. This morning I want to share with you the power that comes from crying out to God. Have you ever noticed that when you start looking for a new car or something fresh, something new, that all of a sudden you start seeing it everywhere? Well, it was like that with this area of crying out to God. If you'd asked me prior to reading Bill Gothard's book, and some of you would remember it because I presented it to the church way back then, The Power of Crying Out, he said that it was a way that described, The Power of Crying Out, way back in 2003, I would have said crying out to God was just another way to pray. But that's not so. When you read through the Psalms and many other places in the Bible, you will see both prayer and crying out in the same verse. Let's have a look at a couple of them. Psalm 17, verse 1. It says, "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit." And if you look into the root words there, you will find that cry means creaking or shrill sound, a shout, whereas prayer is intercession and supplication. In Psalm 39, verse 12, it's, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears." And again, crying means hollowing, whereas prayer is again intercession and supplication. So what's the difference between a prayer and a cry? For me, I believe a cry gets God's attention, and a prayer tends to tell him what you want. You know, it's not dissimilar to us. Holly and Matt have a new baby called Nora. And I'm certain if they heard Nora whimpering, they'd look over and say, "She's just hungry," or "She's not ready for a feed yet." But on the other hand, if they heard Nora scream, an almighty scream, what do you think they would do? Matt would probably continue to watch the football. But Holly, she would drop everything and rush over to see what was wrong. And God is no different to us. He wants us to cry out to him. He wants us to cry out to him on a regular basis. He wants us to cry out to get his attention. When it comes to crying out, the Bible is full of passages where crying out is mentioned. In Exodus 3:7, Israel cried out while they were in bondage. It was a cry of deep distress. In Exodus 14:10, Israel cried out at the Red Sea. It was a cry for help. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah cried out to God for the life of a child. In Psalm 34:15, the righteous cry and God hears them. In Matthew 14:30, Peter cried when he was sinking. He cried out in a loud voice, in an audible voice. In Luke 18:38, the blind man cried and was healed. Jesus cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jonah cried out when he was in the belly of a whale. And we could go on. The list is endless, believe it or not. So what does a cry represent? A cry represents humility. Crying out conquers pride. It says, "I am unable to do this." crying out says, God, I am unworthy, I'm inadequate, I'm unqualified, I'm incapable. It takes a lot of humility to cry out. In fact, the louder you cry, the more humbling it is. David said, evening and morning and noon will I cry out. Crying out is a sign of unconditional surrender. Crying out is a plea for God's mercy. Crying out indicates personal helplessness. Crying out delivers us from danger. In Psalm 50:15, call upon me, and that word call means cry, in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Crying out gives us understanding. In Psalm 119, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Crying out gives us direction for action. In Exodus 14, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Crying out gives us inward strength. On the day that I called, on the day that I cried out to you, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. Crying out gives us knowledge of God's ways. My son, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And the greatest cry of all is the cry for salvation. In Acts 2:21, Romans 10:13, whoever shall call or cry on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why do we have to cry out aloud? Why can't we just do it inwardly? Because there's power when you cry out aloud. Song of Solomon's 2 says, O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. God not only wants our heart, he wants to hear our voices. We know that spoken words have power because the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. If he'd wanted to, God could have created the world with a mere thought. But instead, the Bible tells us that God said, God spoke out aloud. He used the words of his mouth. If we go through again the scriptures, we'll find that the saints of old used their voices for what mattered most. Not only when they prayed, but even their scripture reading was commonly done aloud. We see an example of that in Acts 8 with the chariot riding Ethiopian. Philip heard him reading aloud from the prophet Isaiah while traveling on the desert road. And then even meditation was a vocal exercise. When I think of the word meditation, I always think of being quiet, maybe sitting reading my word or listening or thinking, getting a journal book out and doing some journaling. But in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for meditate or meditation comes from the root word Hagar, which refers to a low murmur. The word Hagar is used for the low rumbling or growl of a lion, or for the moan of a dove, or for the sound of a human mourning. Hagar is not used for normal speaking, but it implies a low, repetitive sound. With this being the case, during biblical process of meditation, scriptures were often spoken aloud to help the heart and the mind engage in God's truth. What I'm trying to point out is that when we open our mouth, when we speak, we are focusing our attention. Out of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaks. In Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate, you shall Hagar, you shall speak it out in a low voice, day and night. The actual sounding out of the scripture from his mouth focused Joshua's mental attention. It's what he knew to do, it's what he watched Moses doing. The Same is true in Psalm 1, 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates, he hagars day and night. This person would continually and delightfully sound forth in a low voice the scripture he loved. What a privilege we have. We possess the authority, we possess the permission as God's adopted sons and daughters to boldly speak before our Father in heaven. We have unbroken access to the throne room of God. By crying out, our voices join in harmony with the voice of Jesus, our intercessor, who the Bible says is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession, speaking on our behalf. It can be humbling to use our voice as we cry out aloud. However, the outworking is that listening to ourselves forces us to examine our hearts, examine what we're thinking, and that is a good thing. So we come to a section called crying out in our hour of need. Hours of crisis, moments of urgent need, believe it or not, come to all of us. How do we prepare for such times? Firstly, we prepare by being ready to cry out aloud to God for his help, boldly expecting his deliverance. God invites and expects us to do exactly that. In Psalm 50, it says, "Call or cry on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Many of us find it humiliating. We find it difficult to cry out for help when we're in crisis. And unfortunately, it's more often men that do that. But God's ways are not our ways. His ways are far higher than our ways. He asks that we recognize our weakness so that we can experience his strength. Paul says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." And there's no better way to express our weakness than to honestly cry out to God for deliverance in those times of stress and trouble. As I've said numerous times already, it takes a lot of humility to cry aloud to our God in distress. Humility before God is precisely what we need. And his promise is that when we come humbly before him, he will exalt us in due season. To all who cry aloud for help in desperate moments, God demonstrates again and again that he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We can confidently call out to God, just as the psalmist did. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in that day of trouble. Incline your ear to me, and in that day I will call or I will cry. Answer me speedily." There might be some here in this room or online today whose personal circumstances are so oppressive, so despairing, that you're struggling to pray even silently, let alone crying out aloud. There's even a psalm about that. Heman the Ezrazite, who wrote one of the most depressing and the darkest psalms, knows exactly what you're feeling. He describes his situation with phrases like this: full of trouble, near to the grave, adrift from the dead. Very uplifting psalm, this. In the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths, shut up and can't get out, afflicted, ready to die, distraught and engulfed. Psalm depicts a man who is entirely alone and abandoned. Yet his closing line in this psalm is translated with these words: "My companions have become darkness. There is only darkness everywhere. In fact, my acquaintances are in darkness." Hopefully, we never have to experience such gloom. Yet, even in this dungeon of depression, let's look at what this man in faith, was able to do and say. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. Before God, he testified, Lord, I have called daily, cried daily. I have stretched out my hands to you. But to you I have cried, O Lord. And in the morning, my prayers come before you. From this troubled man's personal journey, we can learn that we never have to face darkness so deep that we cannot cry out to God, which is what God wants us to do. God delights in showing himself strong on behalf of anyone who is facing an impossible situation, who is prepared to humble themselves and cry out for their deliverance. And the last part of this message this morning I want to bring before we listen to a wonderful testimony. I want to talk to you about crying out in one accord. Crying out together, whether it be as a family, whether it be as a home group, whether it be as a whole church like we are this morning. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, you speak the same thing. When you read Acts, you'll see that in the opening chapters, five times we find the phrase one accord. Wherever you find the phrase one accord in Acts, you'll find a miracle. And this was true when the children of Israel, when those early disciples cried out to God. In Acts 4:24, when they heard it, they lifted their voices together, not alone, together to God, and cried out, saying, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in it. In the Old Testament, when God's people were in a time of great need, the Lord gave these instructions through the prophet Joel. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather all the elders, and gather all the inhabitants of the land in the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. When an entire group cries out in right relationship with the Lord, in right relationship with each other, they are in one accord. And I know from experience that powerful results take place. There's a difference between the prayer we commonly experience in a prayer meeting and the true one accord crying out that took place in the first century church. When one person leads a group in prayer, those who listen are often distracted by other things. But when the entire group focuses on an urgent need and cries out, there is little chance of distraction. I remember back in about 2009, this chapel had been burnt down in a result of a fire. We had closed for a while and we were meeting in the mezzanine. And Pastor Hal caught pneumonia and was in hospital. Now, I'm not going to say he was near death, but I think he was a very, very, very sick man. And I remember that Sunday night that he was in hospital, we stopped church in regard to a sermon and worship, and we called a prayer meeting of the whole church. I told the ministers group that we were a part of around our area that we were doing it, and those ministers came and joined us. And we spent an hour and a half crying out to God for Pastor Hal's deliverance from that pneumonia. Within a couple of days, he came home. There is power, wonder-working power, when we cry out in one accord. Romans 15 says that you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 50. Cry unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. In Scripture, crying out is practiced not only in seeking God's help, but also in praising Him. We forget sometimes that God loves our praises. He loves to hear our voices. He loves it when we worship Him and magnify Him. In Matthew 21, then the multitudes who went before those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And heaven, as we've been listening in Revelation, is no different. It's not a quiet place. Look at what John saw and heard. I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hand, crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And then there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out and saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. The last one. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as a sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God, our omnipotent, reigns. Psalmist gives us this encouragement. Bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praises be heard. And in the final verse of the very last psalm, the verse that brings to the conclusion this entire songbook of heartfelt cries, it says, Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Believe it or not, every one of us in this room and who's watching online are breathing today. And God wants us to use our breath to cry out to Him with our needs and to praise Him for His goodness. Heidi, I'm wondering if you'd come and just share this testimony, please. Can I ask Heidi to come? Heidi has a great testimony of what happens when you and the family cry out to God. Thanks, Heidi.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Heidi Rickard, and I'm really delighted to be able to share how God has recently answered my cry. So my wonderful counselling community job recently merged into a new progressive mental health hub focusing on many areas that conflict with my Christian beliefs. I can't go into detail. However, needless to say, things didn't go well, and I was accused of many things. Ridiculous assumptions and accusations were made, all stemming from my statement of belief in God's created ordinance of defined gender. I was put on a vigorous learning and development plan, which included close monitoring and supervision, and was assigned various courses to re-educate me. I sensed the spiritual battle I was in, and I felt the intensity of the woke agenda. God's timing is impeccable. John Steenhoff from the Human Rights Law Alliance spoke at church of Christians experiencing hostility, and I identified with everything that he said. I felt it. Me being a Christian was the issue. It didn't matter how nice, respectful, and kind I was. My underlying ideology was in total conflict with theirs. It wasn't even personal. It was completely spiritual. During this time, friends Hamish and Cindy prayed with us and strongly encouraged me to seek wisdom and to speak with Graham because of his experience in this area. So I met with Graham, and he gave me his notes on crying out to God, which he had just shared with the Oxley staff PD during that week. Graham encouraged John and I to read them over the weekend, which we did. I humbled myself, got on my knees in my bedroom, and literally cried out to God, asking him for direction, clarity, discernment, and wisdom. It didn't feel natural. I had to step out of my comfort zone, but I did it. I asked God to seriously take away my peace at work if he wanted me to leave, to make it really bad, because amazingly, I still loved my work. Over this weekend, we also had a beautiful time as a family, and John and the kids intentionally rallied around me and prayed. God answered swiftly. 2 days later, my bosses hinted at possibly escalating the incident to human resources. When I protested my innocence, they insisted I had offended people through my use of language, referring to my statement that I couldn't believe that I couldn't promote a lifestyle that I believed wasn't healthy. Using the word lifestyle was apparently offensive because it also implies choice. They said that my being an overt Christian was an issue, as I could trigger colleagues whom Christians and the church have hurt. After this, I again cried out to God and sensed his urging to visit my cousin Andrew that day. And from that visit, through one phone call, God provided two missing pieces to the puzzle. I needed to start my own counselling business. An office close to home and the ability to rent it by the hour, as I would be starting with very few clients and couldn't afford a full day's rent. Andrew's pastor, Liam, told me that they were waiting for the right people to occupy their space and believed that God had orchestrated this introduction. He welcomed me, offered me a room in Lilydale for a generous hourly rate, and allowed me to furnish it and make it my own. In one day, God provided clear direction and the means to do it. The next morning, I had three confirmation of God's plan for me. My Bible reading that morning was Abram's call in Genesis 12. God's calling comes in two parts. The first is to leave, and the second is to go into the land that God reveals. To follow God is to go from and go to. It talked about faith, trust, and God's faithfulness. The second confirmation was a podcast where Ray Vandalon shared about Jesus and the disciples in the boat. The disciples actually rowed 2 miles in the opposite direction of where Jesus told them to go, to Bethsaida. His message was, it's not easy to know where our Bethsaida is, but once you get a sense of it, go for it. Row as hard as you can. It may even take a storm to where he wants you to be, to get you to where he wants to be. And thirdly, John's Bible reading for that day was Psalm 43, titled, Send out your light and your truth. Defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. I felt profoundly moved and overwhelmed by God's kindness that morning. And I knew without a doubt that God was assuring me of his plan. This experience has deepened my faith in Jesus, and importantly, my family have witnessed God at first hand, his work at first hand. It's been so encouraging for my children to know that God uses people, circumstances, prayer, and crying out to God to achieve his purpose. He genuinely cares about the details of our lives. In my own strength, I would never consider starting my own business, but I am so confident in God and his calling, and I trust him to provide and send the clients that he wants me to see. I hope you've been encouraged by my story to cry out to God, knowing that he loves and cares for you too. What an awesome God we serve.
Testimonies are such a powerful thing because it's not only real, but it's lifelike. And Heidi, I thank you for sharing that with us. The call I believe that God has put on my heart for this morning's service is for two groups of people. Firstly, the group that have prayed and prayed and prayed and not seen answers. Why not start crying out instead of praying? And the second group, and this is the one that probably is more on my heart than anything, are those who identify with Heman the Ezrahite. You feel like your life is full of trouble, near the grave, adrift among the dead, in the lowest pit, in darkness, in depths, shut up, cannot get out, afflicted, ready to die, distraught and engulfed. I believe that God wants you to cry out this morning. And I believe that God wants us as a church to stand around you as you cry out. And so, without any fanfare, without any music, if you fit into that boat right now, that your life is in deep trouble, that there's circumstances, situations surrounding you right now that are causing you to be engulfed, causing you to be overflowed with a sense of doom and gloom, then I'd like you to stand right where you are right now. Just stand where you are. I know it's a humbling thing, but I do believe that this is what God wants us to do. If you have got situations and circumstances that are surrounding you right now that make you feel shut in, make you feel as though you can't get out, as if you need a miracle, in short. Okay, you can see some people standing. If they're standing, I'd like some people to gather around. In fact, why don't we as a whole church stand now and gather around those that are standing, please. Just lay hands on them. Let's cry out to God. And I'd encourage all of you to lift your voices right now. Not me, all of you. And I will pray and I will cry out to God as well with you. But let's lift our voices. Let's see breakthrough take place. Just as much as Heidi had that answer when she cried out to God, let's see answers take place. Let's be in one accord as a church. Let's recognize the family of God in this place today. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for your goodness and your love. And Lord God, you know those ones that are standing right now. Father, I know some of their needs right now. I know some of their circumstances and situations right now. And Lord God, we humble ourselves in one accord today. We come together as one voice, Lord God, and we pray, Lord God, we cry out, Lord God, that there would be breakthrough in their situations and circumstances. That, Father, that you would rip the veil, that veil of darkness off people's eyes. That, Father, that you would open their eyes to the truth, to the Word of God. Father, for the circumstances and the situations that are holding them down, for those anchors, those chains that are holding them down, Lord, we cut those chains even right now. Lord God, as Andy's song sung today, Lord God, we see that death has no more sting. That death in these circumstances and situations that is causing people to feel as though they're helpless. Lord God, we see life, life. Father, we stand against the works of darkness. We stand against Satan himself, the thief who has come to steal, to kill and destroy. And Lord God, we thank you for Jesus who came that we might have life and that we might have it to the full. Lord God, I pray for those right now who don't know you as personal Savior, Lord. For those who might have walked away from you. For those, Lord God, who don't know what they need. Lord God, your word says, cry unto me and I will deliver you. Lord God, let there be salvation breakthrough in people's lives, in families' lives. Father, for those that have family members that don't know you, Lord, we pray that there would be breakthrough right now. We pray there'd be release right now. We pray, Lord God, that you would impact lives right now and we would see an influx of people come into your kingdom. Lord, we pray and cry out this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you'd like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.